Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away,
to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away. The shadows of this life has grown, I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, fly away. Die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away,
to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come?
When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up, rise up,
bow down,
and bow down,
lay my crown at his wounded feet.
There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come?
When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up, rise up,
then I'll bow down,
and bow down,
lay my
and lay my crown
at his
I will rise up, rise up,
then I'll bow down,
and bow down,
lay
my crown at his wounded feet. There's a stir within me. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me.
As we take the bread that represents his body, I quickly want to go into Romans 12, verses 2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And I love this passage because as we remember the sacrifice, as we remember how perfect this plan is, he tells us not to conform to the world. Why? Because we'll be able to find that peace in him. That we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. My mindset, I often have it on the trouble in this world. And it weighs heavily on my heart, on my shoulders, on my mind. But Jesus tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. His will is perfect. His plan is perfect. And I find myself feeling the weight of the reality of what we face, of the trouble, of the struggle, the heartache. But our Lord and Savior gave it all. As we take this bread, we're reminded that He gave it all so that we could have that peace in Him. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for the sacrifice. We're so thankful that this world is not our home, that we're just passing through, Lord. We're so thankful that we have eternal life. We pray that we continue to fixate our eyes on You, Lord, that we remember that sacrifice, that we remember that the trouble is going to be here, but that Your peace is perfect, Your will is perfect, and You give us peace, Lord. We pray that we can be transformed, renewing our minds, because Your will is perfect, and You give us peace. We pray again that we, as we take this bread, we remember You, Lord, and we fixate our eyes on You, and we remember that even though this world is full with trouble, that You give us peace. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flames. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs.
As we join together and prepare to take the drink, the cup which represents His blood, and the bread which represents His body. I want to quickly read John 16, verse 33. And it reads, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I think this passage is so beautiful in so many ways, especially because our Lord and Savior just tells us, He acknowledges there is trouble, that we are going to struggle, that it's going to be hard. And I believe oftentimes when we pray, I know when I pray, I pray, you know, for things to go away, right? Oh, can I just get to the next point? Can I just get to the next goal? Can I just get there, right? Or I say, you know, Lord, please, you know, let this sickness go away. Let this pain go away. Let this struggle go away, this fear go away, the worrying go away. But He tells us that, yes, there is going to be trouble. There's no doubt in that. There is going to be trouble. But our Heavenly Father gives us peace. And so as we bow our head, as we remember what our Lord and Savior did for us, let us remember the peace that we have through Him. That no matter what trouble comes, He will give us peace. He says, take heart, because I have overcome this world. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to have the opportunity to worship this morning, to glorify Your name, to give it to You, Lord. And we pray that we fix our eyes on You, that we remember the sacrifice You've given for us, Lord. We pray that we can remember the peace, not to ask for our troubles to go away, but to ask for your will to be done, to ask for us to have faith in your perfect plan, and to remember that you give us peace, that you have overcome this world. We're so thankful that you've given everything to us, Lord. We just pray that we can remember that this world is not our home. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. The unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Good morning, church. Welcome again to our services here with the Kanawha City Church of Christ. Once again, we are meeting at a distance, but yet at the same time, we are meeting together, and we are, at this time, we're grateful for the opportunities that we have through technology to be together and be this source of communion and encouragement to one another. We're grateful that even though we're at a distance, we can raise our voices together in song. We're grateful that even though we're at a distance, we can commune around the Lord's Supper. And we're grateful that even though we're at this distance, we can be encouraged by the reading of God's word together. You know, for the past several weeks, we have been in this series where we've been looking at what the New Testament has to tell us about what it means to live in community as a church with one another. In the New Testament, the New Testament writers will write 100 different times about what life is supposed to be like with one another. And so we have been spending our time together looking at these various passages and looking at some of the different one another passages in the New Testament. And many of them overlap. Many of them say the same thing. There's several passages that talk about loving one another. And so this isn't going to be a 100-part sermon series. I don't think I've told you all that yet. And we're almost completely through this series. We're just looking at you know, kind of some of these lumped together and summed up, but looking at what it means to live with one another. And as we do that this morning, we want to look at what it means to encourage one another. You know, in his letter to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, and also in chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul will tell the church there to encourage one another. In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 3 and verse 13 writes, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today." And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we have a passage that probably most of us are pretty well aware of. It's one that we've heard preached oftentimes throughout our life. And it says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, this is kind of an interesting verse for us to be looking at together, especially as we meet together online this morning and not actually at our physical building and in person. Because we've oftentimes heard this verse preached to the effect of how we shouldn't neglect meeting together and how it's so incredibly important for us to be at the worship service, at the worship gatherings together. And yet, here we are this morning and we're not in person. But yet, maybe that's part of what makes this verse all that more important to us this morning, is to look at exactly what it's saying, as it's saying how we shouldn't neglect to meet together. And yeah, that's part of it, but that's not really the main focus. The main focus is the whole reason that we shouldn't neglect to meet together. And that's because when we meet together, we're able to encourage one another and we're able to stir up one another to love and good works. And so we can still read this verse and see even more the need for us to go to greater lengths to be together and encourage one another. Go to greater lengths by spending time on the phone with each other, by calling each other up and finding ways to encourage and stir one another up. Maybe that's through joining each other in some sort of Zoom meeting together. Maybe it's by finding a way that we can meet outside with each other, or maybe even meet in other places with each other where we can maintain that social distance and in smaller groups. But it's so very important, even more so now, for us to find ways to encourage one another. You know, for several years, I used to think that I just really wanted to run a marathon. Yeah, I would get to the beginning of a new year and I'd be setting my New Year's resolutions. And for several years, a New Year's resolution of mine was that I wanted to run a marathon. And that's what I was going to aim to do that year. And I mean, I've never ran a marathon, and anymore, that's not even a New Year's resolution of mine. Because what I've come to find out is that, you know, I really never actually wanted to run a marathon. I'm not much of a runner. That's not something that I necessarily enjoy. And I'm not really for sure why I thought that I wanted to run a marathon, except to be able to say that I had actually done it. And I think that's really what it was. I wanted to be able to say that I'd done it, but I didn't actually want to go through it. I didn't actually want to run the marathon. But I have known several people who have ran marathons. I've had several friends that have ran marathons, and even a couple friends who have ran in the Boston Marathon. And of course, you know, many people are well aware of the Boston Marathon. Several years ago, there was the bombing there. But it's one of the biggest, most well-known marathons that a person can possibly run in. It's you runners from all over the world, the very best come and run in this marathon together. And some have even considered this marathon, you know, amongst, you know, qualifying marathons, to be one of the most difficult, mainly because of what has become known as Heartbreak Hill. There's a hill within this Boston Marathon that Runner's World has called perhaps the most notorious of all elevation changes in major marathons. It's a steep, nearly half mile incline that raises about 88 feet over the course of that half mile. We think, you know, 88 feet really isn't that much of an incline. It isn't really going up that high, isn't that much of an ascension. But it's not so much the 88 feet incline. It's not the half mile incline or the 88 feet up. It's the fact that this hill doesn't come at the beginning of the race. But, you know, a marathon is 26.2 miles long, and this hill comes at mile 20 in the race. You're already, you know, completely tired at this point, and now you've got to hit the hardest hill that comes in this race. Supporters will often gather here in this area to encourage runners and to kind of push them along, push them further, and hold up signs that tell them, you know, celebrating that they're at the top of Heartbreak Hill, or even some I've seen that say that you are now over the hill. You see, sometimes encouragement is what we need, really in the most difficult times, really when the struggle gets the hardest. Encouragement is what we need when times get most difficult. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is writing, and he's writing about what it means to live within the body of Christ and what it means for us all to work together and encourage one another. And I want us to read this together. It begins 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. And Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it." Now listen to these last couple of verses and what it says here. He says back in a little bit, "But God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together." You see, what Paul writes here is that the body of Christ should be so joined together, so together and falling in place and encouraging and caring for one another, and that we live so much together that when one person suffers, we all feel that pain and we all suffer with them. And when one person rejoices, we all feel that same excitement and we rejoice with them. You know, over the course of this past week, I've seen many of you do this very thing and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You see, this past week on Thursday, I had a niece that was born. My sister had her first child and named her Caroline. And so we are celebrating the birth of my niece Caroline. And my sister posted something on Facebook, and some of you commented on that. But many more commented on Dad's post. You know, Grandpa, you know, celebrating the birth of his granddaughter, the birth of his granddaughter Caroline, and many of you have celebrated with Dad in that same celebration and celebrated with us as a family, as we celebrate that, and we thank you for that. But I'm also reminded of times when we've suffered together. And see, you'll notice that my niece and my niece's name is Caroline. She was named after my late mother, whose name was Carolyn. And several years ago, back in February of 2017, on late one Saturday night, my mother passed away very unexpectedly. And it was then that we really felt, even more so than normal, we really felt the presence of the church in our lives. As many of you came by our side and suffered with us. As we suffered, you suffered with us. And I want to speak maybe to three people very particularly. We had several people who just poured out their hearts to us in so many different ways. And I'm especially mindful right now of the presence of our elders at the time. And we had five elders at the time, Joe Riley and Tom Hannigan were serving as elders alongside Joe Masker and Bill Reynolds and Chris Morris. And they were all just so encouraging to us during that time and really just helped us to work through that. And I want to speak very specifically real quick and talk about a couple of things that they did. I remember being there in the hospital, standing in the emergency room, kind of area there in Point Pleasant, more than an hour or roughly an hour away from Charleston area and calling and talking to the various elders. And I remember things like Joe and Janine being that source of encouragement and willing to actually come and offering to come and sit with us and just be by our side during that time and how much we appreciated that. I remember calling the elders and saying, listen, bear in mind, this was a Saturday night. I'm due to preach the next morning. I remember calling the elders and saying, guys, you're going to have to figure something out. I'm not going to be able to preach tomorrow. And I remember Bill stepping up and taking that on and preaching on the spot and going back later and listening to that sermon and listening to just the encouragement that he gave during that time. I remember several weeks later sitting on the front porch of Chris and Renee's house and Chris sitting there with me and talking with me and just asking me how I was doing and us sitting there and him praying over me and praying for me and for my family during that time. And I just, what sticks out to me is the fact that these various people came and just chose to be by my side. None of them came to me and said, I know exactly what you're going through and this is what you need to do. That sort of thing's just not really helpful during a time like that. But instead they came and they suffered with me. And they suffered with us and they gave us encouragement in that way. You see, sometimes to be an encouragement is simply to enter into the life of a person, to come along beside them, to feel what they feel and to go through that with them, to rejoice when they rejoice and to suffer when they suffer. You see, I'm reminded in Job chapter 2, you remember the story of Job, everything is going wrong that could possibly go wrong in his life. He's lost everything that he owns. He's lost his entire family. And now his health is failing him. And we read in Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, we read of his three friends coming to join him. And the rest of Job is going to tell the story of his friends talking and just the terrible advice that they give. And I don't necessarily want to focus on that, but I want to focus on what they did first. Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept. And they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. Here's what I want to notice about this passage. Before they talk and kind of mess everything up, Job's friends are tremendous encouragers in what they choose to do first. And what would have really been great is if they would have chose to just stick with that and just encourage him that way. It says that they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. You see, sometimes we can encourage others without even having to say a word. Because encouragement is not just simply saying nice words that maybe help you make somebody feel better. But rather, encouragement really means to come along one side. You see, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul writes, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Like I said, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians to encourage one another. The Hebrew writer would write to encourage one another. And what that really means is just that. It means to bear one another's burdens. That word encourage that we read in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 and also in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, it's a really interesting word, and it comes from the Greek word parakaleo. And what that word means is simply this. It means to call to one side. You know, maybe you in church sometimes, especially guys, when we go to hug somebody, we've mastered this side hug. And of course, we don't do that right now because of because of COVID and social distancing. But you know, oftentimes we've mastered that almost kind of awkward side hug to bring somebody in. But that's really what this word means. It means to bring somebody into your side, to put them there and to call them into their side and to feel what they feel and to bear their burden and to go through life with them. And so we see this word to encourage. And it means to call to one side. And like I said, it comes from this Greek word parakaleo. And that's important because I want us to notice another usage of this word, or a word that's similar to it. You see, that word is the verb form of it. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, we read this. Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you." You know, the English Standard Version there, like I said, says helper. And we've seen various words used in this, in this verse. You have various translations call the helper, the comforter, the advocate, and some even just the spirit. And of course, this verse is talking about how when Jesus would go away, that the Holy Spirit would come to them. But this word helper is an interesting word because what it is the word is parakletos, or what it means is you can see the relationship that the parakletos is the helper, the parakaleo means to encourage, parakaleo is the verb form to call to one side, and the parakletos, the helper, or the Holy Spirit, is the noun form here of the one who is called to one side. You see, we are the church. We are Christians, and as Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the one who has been called to our side. You see, listen again to what we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 and 13. Paul begins by saying, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." As the body of Christ, we were all baptized into that body and made one in that body through that one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul writes in talking about the church, says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that's given to everyone who puts Christ on in baptism, now lives in our body. And we are, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, Paul writes to the church community as a whole and says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" You see, as Christians, we are filled both individually and communally with the Spirit of God. We are filled with the one that Christ would call the parakletos, or the helper, or maybe even the encourager. As Christians, we are filled with the Spirit of God, the one who is called by our side, to be there, to feel what we feel, to hurt with us, to rejoice with us, to produce fruit in us. He's called by our side to be our comforter and our encourager. And now we are empowered by the parakletos, and we are called to parakaleo. We are called to encourage. We are empowered by the Spirit to live out the Spirit. We are empowered by the encourager to live out that same encouragement. We are empowered by the one who has been called to our side to now go and to call others to our own side, to encourage one another and to lift one another up and to be so close together, to be so drawn to the side of each other that when one of us suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And so as we look at what it means to live in community, as we look at what it means to live with one another, this phrase that's been used 100 different times in the New Testament, we realize that we are called to live by each other's side, to grab each other and to draw us in, to draw others into our side, so that as they suffer, we can suffer with them. And as they rejoice, we can rejoice with them. So that as we have the Spirit living within us, we can encourage them by that same Spirit and enlighten them and to lift them up by that same Spirit. And so let us live close together. Let us live by each other's side. Let's encourage each other. Let's suffer with one another when another is suffering. Let's feel for that person and take on that ourselves. Let's rejoice for each other when each other rejoices. And let us encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to come and to live this life here on earth, to show us how to live, and to give his life up as that atoning sacrifice for us, to redeem us to you. Father, we thank you that when he left, that you sent your Spirit, that you sent your comforter, and your encourager, to come be by our side, to come be within us, to make us one in the body of Christ. And Father, we pray that as we are one, we'll reach out to one another. That we won't let each other walk away, but rather we'll grab each other and pull each other into our side. That we'll live life together. That we'll suffer together. And that we'll rejoice together. Father, we pray that you'll give us more times of rejoicing than suffering. But yet we do know that we will have times of suffering. But we know that that's made all the better because we're by each other's side. Father, thank you for our family. Thank you for each other. Thank you that you've made us one in your Spirit, that you've put us within the body of your Son, that you are calling us home, and that you're allowing us to live together through your Spirit as we wait for your return. We love you so much, Father. It's through the name of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
You gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. You gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. You've gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. In the street,
in the street,
in the home,
on the job,
all alone,
highways,
byways,
highways,
byways. You gotta
love
one another,
everywhere you go.
You've gotta
love
one another,
everywhere you go.
You've gotta
love
one another.
Father.
Children
everywhere you go. In the street.
In the street.
In the home.
In the home.
On the job.
On the job.
All alone.
All alone.
Highways.
Highways.
Byways.
Byways.
Highways.
Highways,
byways, you've gotta praise the Lord daily.
Children
everywhere you go, you've gotta praise the Lord daily.
Children
everywhere you go, you've gotta praise the Lord daily.
Children
everywhere you go, in the street.
In the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone, highways,
highways,
byways,
highways,
byways, in the street,
in the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone,
highways,
byways,
highways,
byways, take the Lord with you.